Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamidġu plilkom bi xewqat tajba ta' rappresentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jipprezenta Il-Balomba Program li jagħti ħarsa li l-aħħar ġrajiet u żviluppi relatati ma' l-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba.
L-għodwa tajba jena ġizmin Saliba nsalm il-komun il-għakom għal-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġemata l-program il-Balomba, program imtellem rappresentanza tal-Kommissjoni Ewropea f'Malta u li fiħni trattaw dak li jkun jetiġi fl-istituzzjoni Ewropej, pero anka dimensjoni lokali b'mod partikolari meta jkun għedin jiġu ġrajiet organizzati stess mill-istess istituzzjonijiet. Fostom dak li ser nitrattaw fl-edizzjoni tal-lum li huwa marbut ma' TAEX. TAEX li qed jagħlaq l-20 anniversarju minkejn li twaqqaf hija struttura fejn dan il-Kummissjoni Ewropea li hija mmirata biex tgħin lil dawk il-pajjiżi li jkunu qegħdin jippreparaw biex jidħlu fl-Unjoni Ewropea. Apparti minn hekk, din l-istess istituzzjoni tgħaddi mbagħad numru ta' expertise ferjas vari li jkunu qegħdin jgħinu mbagħad lil dawk il-pajjiżi li jkunu qed jippreparaw biex jidħlu fl-istess Kummissjoni Unjoni Ewropea. Biex jiġi kommemorat dan l-anniversarju f'pajjiżna ġie organizzat seminar illi sar bejn 19 u l-20 ta' Marzu kien qiegħed jitkellem b'mod partikolari dwar sorveljanza tas-suq, però kien qiegħed jitratta l-aspett tal-isfidi u anka l-mod kif pajjiżna preżenta dak li jiġi konsidrat bħala best practice u anka għamel analiżi speċifika dwar il- passaċ li għamel pajjiżna minn pajjiż li kien kandidat għal sħubija għal eventualment stat membru dwar kif allura ibbenefika mill-assistenza teknika u mill-mod kif ġiet mbagħad moddija. Sorveljanza ta' suq hija importanti ħafna biex tipproteġi lill-konsumatur fost l-oħrajn minn numru ta' prodotti li ma jkunux tal-istess livell ta' sigurtà. Fostom ukoll għandek l-iktar aspetti marbutin ma' prodotti li jiġu konsumati però li mhumiex ikel u li permezz tagħhom u anka permezz ta' l-ħidma li jsiru mill-effiċjenzi li tiħtieġu l-awtoritajiet nazzjonali ikun hemm infurzar biex il-leġiżlazzjoni li hemm fil-proġett fil-pakkett ta' liġijiet Ewropej u anka f'standards relatati ikunu jistgħu jiġu implementati. Però biex nisimgħu aktar dwar ir-rwol ta' TAEX, kif ukoll anka dwar dak li seħħ f'pajjiżna, aħna għamilna intervista ma' Heike Gerstbrein li hija l-kap tal-unit fiħdan il-TAEX u li hija wkoll responsabbli mid-Direttorat Ġenerali responsabbli mit-tkabbir. Però nisimgħu din wara din il-pawsa. Komplement tal-jum it-tajjeb f'din il-parti tal-programm se jrid nagħmlu intervista ma' Heike Gerstbrein li hija l-kap tad-Direttorat Ġenerali għal pajjiżi ġirien u proċess negozjati ta' tkabbir tal-fisħdan il-Kummissjoni Ewropea. Ovvjament l-intervista ser issir bil-lingwa Ingliża. Thanks for joining us for this interview. This interview, which is part as well of a process linked to a visit which took place in Malta in the past few days, whereby there was specific analysis and also a review of the aspect of the TAEX, which is a technical assistance and information exchange instrument of the European Commission, and the Maltese experience, so to speak. But beyond the Maltese experience, maybe you can enlighten us a bit about the role of TAEX and how it evolves from a pre-membership stage, and then once a country joins the European Union, is still there need for such assistance, or the focus is mainly in the pre-accession stage?
Well, thanks a lot as well from my side for having me here today. I'm very happy to explain a little bit about TAIEX, which indeed is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. TAIEX is the institution-building instrument of the European Commission, and it has got a most fantastic track record over these 20 years, because it has certainly contributed to the accession process that has been undergoing by Malta, but also by the other accession countries, and that is highly appreciated both by the beneficiaries and by the member states, without whose help we could not put TAIEX into place. As you know, when it came to the run-up to the 2004 accession, all the countries that have been negotiating with the Union had a strong need to build their capacities, to build their institutions, and to approximate their own legislation with the EU acquis. And certainly, this was a huge amount of work for these countries, also for Malta. And this is where TAIEX came in with its various workshops, expert missions, or study visits. And the unique feature that TAIEX has, which does not exist in any other donor's portfolio, is that it is very quick, that it can help on a very short-term basis, that it is peer-to-peer, and as I said, that it can be organized relatively fast, and we can muster experts throughout the European Union in a relatively short period. That makes TAIEX so successful, and that is why TAIEX has helped the countries who wanted to accede and have acceded in 2004 prepare for accession. And now that they basically have graduated from former beneficiaries, they have graduated to providers of EU expertise. Malta is one good example. Between 2000 and 2005, I have checked, we have had about 2,700 participants from Malta, public officials that is, who were trained by TAIEX and participated in the training provided by TAIEX. And since accession in 2004, the same, or not necessarily the same, but also public officials from Malta have gone to other beneficiaries to actually explain their expertise and give guidance in their areas of expertise to the public officials in those beneficiary countries. And of course, those beneficiary countries currently cover the candidate countries and the potential candidates, so we're talking about Western Balkans and Turkey. But given the fact that TAIEX was successful in the last round of succession, TAIEX was also extended to the European neighborhood policy. And so we are not only providing advice and guidance to the candidate countries and potential candidates, we also provide advice to the countries that are covered by the European neighborhood policy, be it in the south or be it in the east.
A lot of emphasis is done about the legislation aspect in the process of the implementation of the acquis and the adoption of the acquis. How does this tie in with the aspect of the neighborhood policy, considering the fact that there is no specific requirement for legislation, I understand, which
requires to be changed because of potential accession, or there are things because of the commonality of the markets which would lead to that necessity?
Yes, you're right. The accession aspect does not relate to the neighborhood countries. However, don't forget that those countries have entered into contractual relationships with the European Union, meaning, for instance, that for a number of countries, there are deep and comprehensive free trade agreements. And those agreements actually require that at least a certain amount or a certain percentage of the acquis is streamlined with the one of the EU legislation. And therefore, for that part, TAIEX can be very useful. Because, of course, you know, these countries, they want to export into the EU, so the standards of their products need to be in line with those of the EU, and that is why TAIEX can be very, very helpful when it comes to this part of the acquis. But there are also issues, softer issues, for instance, that TAIEX can cover when it comes, for instance, to migration, where we can help those countries restructure and improve their asylum procedures, or when it comes to counter-terrorism efforts, for instance. There also the expertise that we do have in the member states and the public officials dealing with those issues in the member states are willing to give their expertise to other countries so that they can basically learn from the best practice that the EU is providing.
So you made a comparison which linked the status of being an applicant, candidate country, eventually to a member state, like the one of a student who eventually graduates and then becomes a mentor. Any student doesn't like to necessarily study how much needs to be studied for the actual graduation, but then they celebrate for graduation. The experience over the past 20 years, is it similar as well to the way the countries prepare themselves for accession, as it's a burdening process, or it's more of an enabling process? And does TAIEX contribute to actually makes this process as an enabling one rather than a burdening one?
Well, I think I would certainly go for the interpretation that is that it is an enabling process, simply because I forgot to mention earlier on that TAIEX is demand-driven, which means that any beneficiary country that feels, because of the political priorities that are guiding its actions, would be helped by TAIEX, can ask us and can formulate a request, so that we then actually come in and say, yes, that is something that is worthwhile doing, that will bring your legislation or the implementation of the legislation forward, and then we would actually try and find the relevant experts to help the country, either in an expert mission or in a bigger workshop, and at least, you know, give it some guidance, some advice on how to, as I said, draft the relevant legislation or implement the relevant legislation. So the demand-drivenness of this instrument, I think, makes it also or contributes to the success story that TAIEX is, and it is a success story. When you look at the last 20 years, we have implemented 40,000 events, which makes about 7.6 events per working day. So the sheer quantity of the events that were requested and then were put into action shows that TAIEX indeed is a big, big success story, and it has never stopped being so. It has been like that in the run-up to the 2004 enlargement, but it has been so ever since, because, as I said earlier, at some point it was decided to also extend this very successful model also to the neighborhood policy. So indeed, it is seen as a welcome tool, A, by the beneficiaries countries, but also by the member states, because the member states, you know, it provides some professional experience for the public officials, the experts who go to a beneficiary countries, but also the member states, by having their experts go there, they, you know, make contact with the countries, they establish a working relationship. So I think, all things considered, it really has been a clear success.
Now, focusing a bit about the Malta experience, you described it as a positive one from the point of view of preparation and then the actual implementation. Which areas proved to be the most intriguing, to use such a verb, in the process?
Well, for Malta, as I said earlier on, we have trained about 2,700 public officials before the accession. And now then, Malta has also provided expertise for the new beneficiaries, so to say. One of the clear strong points of Malta is market surveillance. This is where we are going to have the workshop about, or we had the workshop about. And then other events that Maltese experts have participated in were, for instance, on fighting fraud, on securing the safety of toys, on fisheries, and a number of others where the Maltese were actually quite present in rendering their own experience, so to say. But that doesn't mean that the Maltese couldn't be more active. I think we are also here to sort of spell the gospel and invite more Maltese public officials to participate in TAIEC's events, because, as I said earlier on, first of all, personally, for the personal development of and the career development of the expert, quite fruitful, because this is something you can put in on your CV, and it's also something that helps you keep on top of the area that you specify in, and it helps the country itself to establish bilateral contacts with the beneficiary, which may be actually turning out quite useful in the medium term. So, yeah.
Post-accession, a country just becomes a provider, or can still benefit or requires a level of assistance for the from tax?
It can still benefit for a limited amount of time, and I think it is 1 year or a little bit more. It cannot benefit of TAIEC anymore, because, as we have said, it has graduated. However, there's one good example, and that is also because the instrument as such is so successful, where we have started to provide TAIEC's expertise within the member states, which is when it comes to the implementation of regional funds. Mm-hmm. There we have a pilot project going on where certain countries that are especially experienced and their administration is really capable to administer regional funds, where they go and provide expertise to possible beneficiaries in other member states. So this is a pilot phase, but so far is going really well, but it is indeed only limited to structural funds.
The aspect of implementation of funds is always a crucial thing. It's also the subject of debates, and was one of the main subjects in the accession process. However, experience has shown that it's not just getting the funds, but being able to utilize them properly and also according to standards. Is it an issue limited only to new countries, or it's a issue which one could find that is across the continent?
Well, what we have found is that it is across the entire EU, meaning all 28. There are very good examples where the so-called old member states draw on the expertise of new member states. Mm-hmm. So it does work across the entire spectrum of the 28. And as I said, it is only a pilot project, but it's taking off quite well.
One can say that the European project is one which is ongoing. A few days ago we celebrated Europe Day, and in the original declaration by Schuman there was a reference to a number of projects, a number of plans. One can say that Europe is the result, the beginning and the end of a vision which was over 50 years ago, and now that's it, and now we need to implement it. The fact that there is this ongoing changes eventually, and I mean even the way that the project has changed, both on a political and then on economic aspect. I mean, one sees even the aspect of the economic and financial crisis has led to a number of changes in the way the financial aspect, the economical aspect is administered. Has this been also thus increased the level in the curriculum, to retain the same parallel, of the student for the new member states, and as such from the way the public servants also in the economic field are to be prepared? Has it reflected these changes in the way the economic aspect is governed through the semester process, through the various institutions which monitor the way the European economies are being operated?
Well, as I said early on, TAIEGS and twinning only relate to not to the member states.
No, I'm talking to the ones which are coming in, those who are in an applicant level status.
Well, we would, of course, when it comes to those that are, let's say, in an enlargement process, those, of course, there, the European Commission is keen to foster three main priorities and to focus on three main priorities. One is that to move forward on the capacity building in the public administration. The other is to move forward when it comes to justice and home affairs. And the third one is, as you have said earlier on, economic governance. And when you look at our annual activity report that we are going to publish very soon, I mean the TAIEGS and twinning annual activity report, you will see one concrete example where we have actually organized a big workshop, not only for countries covered by the enlargement policy, but also by other countries, where we actually look at smart specialization. And smart specialization is a sort of twinning where you would establish a cooperation when it comes to joint research. And there, TAIEGS contributed with organizing a workshop that is geared to smart specialization, which then, of course, would help to strengthen the economic governance of the beneficiary countries who participated in there. I mean, this is just, you know, a curtain raiser. It cannot be done by TAIEGS on its own. But we created a platform so that those countries interested in the smart specialization could actually obtain guidance, obtain ideas, have an exchange of views with those countries who are already implementing it, have an exchange of views with their peers, so to say. So indeed there, TAIEGS, of course, is very active, as it is for these other priorities that I have just mentioned, which is public administration and justice and home affairs.
The purpose of this visit was the seminar which was organized in the past few days in Malta. What was discussed during this event, which was held on the Maltese Islands?
Well, we discussed, as I said earlier, market surveillance. Mm-hmm. And I must say, I'm very grateful to the Maltese authorities that they were prepared to help us in organizing this workshop. And I would also like to thank the various Maltese officials who have participated in it, amongst others the Parliamentary Secretary for the EU Presidency, Honourable Dr. Ian Bourke, Mrs. Elena Dalli, the Minister for Social Dialogue, Consumer Affairs and Civil Liberties. We felt the fact that they actually took the interest and participated in the workshop, at least partly, I think that was very welcome, and it also helped extremely to raise the visibility of the workshop. Now, having said that, we focused during those days, these 2 days, on market surveillance. We had a number of experts from member states who looked at the specific challenges when it comes to market surveillance, who looked at best practices on how it is being done in the EU member states, who actually presented the latest legislation when it comes to market surveillance. So I feel we covered a lot of ground, and it was a quite successful event, and I'm sure that the participants have taken a lot of knowledge and good ideas with them home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Outcome kem smajtu. Il Balombo. Produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bi xewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.